Today's reading is taken from Luke chapter 12, verses 35 to 48. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Peter said, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all? And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise manager, whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him to pieces and put him with the unfaithful. And that servant who knew his master's will but did not get ready or act accordingly to his will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him will much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more.
Please do leave your Bibles open to Luke chapter 12, starting verse 35. And we're going to open our time in God's Word with prayer. Let's pray. O Father in heaven, you have entrusted your word to us. But unless you, by your Spirit, intervene and teach it to our hearts, these will just remain words on a page. But we are confident that your word is living and active and that it can cut right to the heart. And so please speak your truth to our hearts and then free us to believe and obey and live by your word. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you're ever in a situation where you've gone to a dinner party and it's a bit boring, I think that it's always helpful to ask an interesting question. And one fascinating question to ask is, what would you do if today was your last day on earth? Now, I imagine, given that we're in a church setting right now, I imagine a number of us would spend our last day maybe in prayer or reading our Bibles or preparing our hearts for eternity. But if we were to poll a room of people just at random, we might get a variety of answers. So, for instance, some of us would want to spend time with friends and family, connecting with those who we love. Others of us would do the exact opposite. We'd curl away and hide away, maybe cuddle up to a TV screen or maybe a big tub of ice cream and nurse our wounds as we wait for our last day. Still others of us would gather up all our money and go on a spending spree, doing all the things we'd never done. And so we treat ourselves to life's luxuries that we wouldn't normally encounter, or maybe we go on one last adventure or do something wild. And still others of us might gather up a bit of courage and tell someone how we really feel about them in an attempt either to kindle or to end a relationship in that last day. But I'm sure there is a few of us who are much more prudent and sensible and would be thinking about kind of the practical things of life. You know, so for instance, gosh, I need to maybe tell my spouse, you know, the details on our bank account or about where the will is kept. Or maybe for some of us, it might be just a case of, if the world's going to end, I'm going to not be here. I need to make sure the house is tidy, you know, and organize everything, get everything on my to-do list ticked off. You know, it is an interesting question. What would you do if today was your last day? What makes it interesting is that it really does reveal what matters most to us. You know, for some of us, it's a relationship that's quite close. For others of us, it might be comfort or pleasure. For others of us, it might be our desire for order or our sense of duty or responsibility. The question, what would you do if today was your last, reveals what we treasure most in our hearts. But it also reveals how much we've actually thought about or prepared for the end of our lives. It's an interesting question to ask, particularly as we turn to our passage from the Bible this morning. Now, as a reminder, in the last few weeks, we've been looking at Luke chapters 12 and 13, where Jesus always assumes that God's final reckoning is at hand, and that therefore we need to be ready for eternity. So 2 weeks ago, we saw that God knows everything that we do, and that all of our actions will be held to account. And then last week, we saw that material possessions, they won't actually help us in eternity. Only turning to Jesus and putting our lives into his hands will give us any lasting sense of security. And following on from that, this week, Jesus urges us first in verses 35 to 40 to be ready for his return. And then in verses 41 to 46, he urges us to be faithful as we wait. So let's start now with verses 35 to 40, where Jesus urges us to be ready for his return. Read with me from verse 35, which says this: "Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from a wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at a table, and he will come and serve them." In verses 35 to 40, Jesus urges us to be ready for action, ready for his return. And Jesus does this by telling us a parable about a group of servants who are waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet. And the servants, they're not exactly sure when their master is going to return, but in the parable, they keep their lamps burning. They're dressed for action, ready for him to come through the door. So, you know, in the same way that when Emma and I go out on a date night, the babysitter doesn't put her jammies on and go have a quick kip up in the spare room. No, of course not. A babysitter would want to stay awake, you know, ready for action in case one of the kids wakes up or something happens. So too, the faithful servant in this parable stays awake and is ready for action, ready for the return of the master of the house. But then, in verse 37, the parable takes a surprising turn. Because you would expect that these servants who are waiting for their master to return from this wedding banquet, they're waiting for him to come through the door and to give them all sorts of jobs, all sorts of responsibilities, all the things that they must do, that they must serve their master. But look at verse 37. In verse 37, Jesus says that these faithful servants are going to be rewarded by the master of the house, who upon returning home will put on the garments of a servant and will wait on his faithful employees, serving them. Now, it goes without saying that as in applying this parable, Jesus is the master of the house and we are the servants anticipating his return. And Jesus' message is that those who are ready for his return will be rewarded. Jesus will return, and when he does, it will be a time of fabulous blessing where Jesus will serve us at his table. I imagine that's something actually that not many of us have actually considered before. You know, as Christians, we're accustomed to thinking about Jesus' ministry of service in his first coming. You know, for indeed, in his earthly ministry, Jesus did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but rather he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. He was born in the likeness of men. And as a man, he humbled himself by dying on a cross, all in service to us, We're accustomed to thinking of Jesus as our servant king who came to serve us at the cross. But have you ever stopped to think about the fact that Jesus' service does not end? That even though right now Jesus has been highly exalted and given the name that is above all names, and that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is the Lord, that despite that, miraculously, Jesus' service to his people does not end. For all of eternity, Jesus will care for and minister to and sustain his people. We will sit at a heavenly banquet, received by him, and he'll wait on us in the clothes of a servant. That's what we have to anticipate as we wait for his return. And with that in mind, we have every incentive to be ready, ready for Jesus' return. For those who are alert to Jesus' return will be richly blessed. But the trick is that we need to be ready, because we don't know when the hour or the time will come. In verse 39, Jesus says that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. So in the same way that a homeowner doesn't know the time a burglar plans to break in, so too we won't know when Jesus will return. A few years ago, I was working at a church in southwest London, and it was described as being in a transitional neighborhood, which means it was a bit rough. Okay, and as a result, we just had to be on our guard. But actually, we weren't as on guard as we thought we were, because it turns out that on this particular occasion, it was a Wednesday morning. We hadn't really, cottoned on to this, but we, on a Wednesday morning, kind of left the door open and people were coming in and out. And someone had snuck in and kind of noticed that, snuck into the place where we were working, and they went into a room that was spare, and they found a bag that was empty, and they stole that, and then they stole a computer as well. And they got out, and we didn't see a thing, and we kind of licked our wounds and thought about, well, what would we do next time to make it a bit better? But unfortunately, that's kind of part of life, isn't it? Yeah? But you know, it's interesting what that burglar didn't do. They didn't, a week beforehand, go, here's a little calling card. Here's the day I'm going to come. I'm going to come on Wednesday morning between 10 and 2. And while you guys are busy, I'm going to go and sneak and steal your stuff. He didn't do that. I would venture to guess that no burglar in history has ever sent a calling card saying when they're going to come. We can't rely on burglars to tell us when they're going to come, which means that we need to be vigilant. We need to be watchful, alert. We need to say, oh, who's in the building? What's going on? And similarly, Jesus says, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. We need to be ready for Jesus' return, because we don't know when he'll come, and we don't want to be caught out. And so it's worth, am I ready for Jesus' return? If you've not put your faith in Jesus, you're not ready. But the good news is that there is still time. Today, you can put your faith in him, and in doing so, be ready to receive him. So do that. Put your faith in Christ. Be ready for his arrival. Please, don't wait. Because you don't know when the day of reckoning will come. And when it does come, it will be a great day for those who are ready. And you don't want to miss out. Many of us know that this week we've had a challenging week here at Jersey Baptist Church. We've had a number of people who've been unwell and in hospital. A number of people who we're actively praying for right now. And also on Tuesday, Brian Cross, who's one of the elders of our church and a man of great humility and also great faith, was hit by the unexpected. On Tuesday, he was doing walking football, and then his heart just stopped, and it stopped for a considerable amount of time. And thankfully, he was revived, and miraculously, he's now able to speak and is responsive, and that is indeed a miracle. But he is facing a long road to recovery. And my guess is that on Monday of last week, Brian and Daphne didn't expect to have the week that they were going to have this week. We can't prepare for all that life throws at us. But we can prepare for eternity. And make no mistake, Brian Cross is prepared for eternity no matter what happens. Because he loves Jesus. He's the watchful servant waiting for his master. And I know that if he were here right now, he would want you to consider that question. Are you ready? Because we don't know the hour or the day when we will meet Jesus. But to be sure, our souls will endure for eternity, either forever in a state of blessing in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, or forever in a state of perdition and judgment. And so we ought to be ready by turning to Christ in faith, trusting that our Lord is kind. He is a kind and servant-hearted master, for in his first coming he came and laid down his life for our sake, and we are promised that in his second coming he will serve and bless those who are ready. He will bless us with his presence. So we ought to be ready. And I think there is a real danger of putting off a decision for Christ. Because a lot of people assume that they can make a decision about salvation later. That they have all the time in the world. And I can't tell you how many times I've sat with someone who's exploring Christian faith, and we've just started looking at the basics, and the first place we go to is we look at the life of Jesus. And nearly everybody's fascinated with Jesus. They may not like organized religion, they may not like Jesus' fan club, but everybody is fascinated with Jesus. And inevitably, I'll sit down and we'll just spend the time just actually looking at what does the Bible say about Jesus. And this person will go, yeah, I think this might be true. And then we start looking at ourselves, how the Bible describes us as people who've rebelled against God and who've missed the mark in terms of God's standard. And most people will readily admit, actually, yeah, I'm not perfect. I have missed the mark. I do have regrets. I do have things that I hide in my life. I'm not happy with the way I am on my own. Most people will do that. I mean, there's a few folks who in their arrogance will go, nope, I'm good. Nothing wrong with me. But there are actually very few. Most folks will go, no, I'm not sorted. I'm not figured out. I do need help. There is a gap in my life. And then we'll explain how Jesus, he fills that gap. He takes away our sin, takes away the burden of our sin, and that in rising from the dead, he actually defeated death and sin and Satan forever so that we can have a brand new life in him, where we're free from condemnation and we're free from the enslaving power of sin, and where we can put our faith in him, trusting in his record of righteousness rather than our own. And that is so appealing because we're so desperate. But I can't tell you how many times at that point in the conversation, the person who I'm sharing with, they'll say quite frankly, yeah, I think this stuff might be true. But I'm just not prepared to make a big commitment or change in my life right now. There's a lot going on in my life right now. I think I'll make a decision about Jesus when I'm older. Or, when I'm married, when I've got my relationship sorted out. Because right now relationships are the biggest thing for me. Or, maybe I'll just sort this stuff out once I've settled down a bit, once the kids come. Because, once you have kids, it's good to get them in church. And so that's when I'll figure this stuff out. And I'm kind of in between jobs right now. I'll sort it out once I get my job situation settled. Or maybe when life gets a little less hectic. I know. I'll figure it out when I retire. Because then you've got all the time in the world, right? But of course, the problem with that response is it assumes that there's always another day in the distant future. But that's a little bit like assuming that a burglar won't break into your house because they didn't leave you a calling card. See, the reality is we do not know what tomorrow will bring. And that's why it's best to be ready today. And so if you are someone who's on the fence about Jesus, can I urge you, don't delay. Don't stand outside of salvation with the hope that one day you can figure this stuff all out. Because right now, you've been given a way to be saved. Jesus promises fabulous blessing to those who are alert and who have put their faith in him and who are ready. So don't delay. Don't wait until it's too late. Put your faith in Christ today. And if you are someone who's put your faith in Christ, can I urge you, be ready and anticipate his return. Because if you are a Christian, it is natural that we would long for his return. In fact, one of the signs that you are a Christian is that your fear of death is superseded by your anticipation of Christ's return, of meeting Christ face to face. Our attitude should be like that of a 7-year-old on Christmas Eve. Has anybody ever seen a 7-year-old on Christmas Eve? I mean, they're like this, I can't wait. Our attitude should be like that of a 7-year-old on Christmas Eve. Death, like going to sleep on Christmas Eve, is impossibly hard for us to imagine. But the hope of being forever with Christ, like Christmas morning, makes us giddy with excitement, wakeful at the thought of receiving our Savior. Our attitude should be like that when we think about Christ's return. We should have an attitude of eager anticipation, anticipating the blessings that will come with his return, living ready for action, ready to receive Jesus, not being lazy in our zeal for the Lord, but eager to tell as many people as we possibly can about the salvation that's found in Christ. We should be, anything that breathes, we should go, yeah, I want to tell you about Jesus and what he's done in my life. Yeah, you know that heartache that you feel because your life is empty? I know someone who can feel it. That we're eager to tell people about Christ. That we're eager to celebrate his goodness towards us. That we're alert to the dangers of sin. Oh no, I don't want to go there again. And that we're alert to the pleasures of being faithful to Christ, ready for his imminent return. And specifically, in verses 41 to 46, Jesus says that the way that we can be ready for his return is by striving to be faithful as we wait. Let's read from verse 41, which says this. Peter said, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all? And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them a portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will set him over all of his possessions. But if that servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and in an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. In verse 41, Peter asked Jesus the question, who's this teaching for? Is it for us, the disciples, or is it for the wider crowd? But interestingly, Jesus doesn't give Peter a direct answer, probably because Jesus' words apply to everyone. Everyone needs to be ready for his return. Everybody needs to be faithful to him as we wait. And to underscore this point, Jesus tells another parable outlining two scenarios. In the first scenario, you've got a master who leaves a manager in charge of his affairs, and the manager is faithful. He's eager to serve the master. He's caring for the other servants who he's in charge of. He's using the resources that the master has left with him in a responsible way. And as a result, he's promised that when his master returns, he's going to be entrusted with even more responsibilities and greater blessings. But by contrast, in that second scenario, the manager thinks to himself, you know, my master, he's a long way coming. I bet he doesn't even come back. I mean, while he's away, I can do whatever I want. You know, when the cat's away, the mice will play. But the games that this manager plays in the second scenario are not very nice because he abuses the others who are under his charge, and he fails to be a good steward of his time and his resources instead, and he eats and drinks as much as he possibly wants, imagining that the master won't return anytime soon. But his luck runs out because his master does return. He returns when least expected, and in returning, the master of the house brings a reckoning of severe judgment. This unfaithful manager is cut to pieces and handed over to the unbelievers. And to be clear, the issue that Jesus is picking up here is certainly that the unfaithful manager was wicked in his behavior. We can all see that, can't we? You know, abusing other people and stealing resources that aren't your own. That's pretty, you know, textbook stuff in terms of immediate termination, isn't it? But his wicked actions were motivated by a false belief. The false belief that his master would not return anytime soon and that he would not be held accountable. Whereas by contrast, the faithful manager aims to please the master even when he's away. And as this relates to us, some of us may be feeling like we haven't been as faithful to Jesus as maybe we could be because we've engaged in sinful behavior. Or maybe because we've not been faithful with what he's given us. Or maybe because we've assumed that he won't hold us to account. If that's you, the point of Jesus' parable is to drive you to repentance and faithfulness, to drive us to ask the question, am I being faithful? Is the next thing that I'm planning to do, would that please Jesus? If Jesus were to return right now, would I be caught off guard or would my actions be commended by Christ? And the lesson here is really simple. Jesus is teaching us to be as busy and as faithful as we possibly can in doing God's business as we wait for his return. So whatever it is you do, Jesus is calling you to be faithful. Tomorrow morning, we're going to all go off and do the things that we do, right? We'll each have a different path that we'll be taking tomorrow. Some of us will be stay-at-home mom and dads. Some of us will maybe be a teacher or an office worker or a builder, or maybe you'll be a full-time volunteer retiree. We've got a number of those in our church. They seem to be the busiest people there are. Whatever it is that you're going to do, do it to the glory of God. Serve Christ faithfully as you wait for his return. Share the good news of Jesus Christ, of salvation found in Christ, with anybody that breathes. Live faithfully according to what the Bible teaches, even if it means it costs you something. And be a good steward of all that God gives you. Because according to verses 47 and 48, Jesus assures us that those who know more will be held to greater account. And a greater degree of judgment is reserved for those who should know better, but who persist in faithless unbelief. Of course, by contrast, the faithful servant of Christ will be rewarded in full. As we close, I'm aware that none of us will know exactly when our last day will be. And so that game where we ask the question, what would I do if this was my last day on earth, is just a bit of a jolly, isn't it? I mean, it's really a bit abstract because we don't know. We could say anything. But a better question might be, what would you do differently in your life if you knew that Jesus was returning next week? If you had a week to make some changes in your life, what would you do differently? What habit would you resolve change? What relationship would you seek to reconcile or maybe to change so that it's more holy? What priority would you give greater attention to? And as you think about that thing that you would do in anticipation of Jesus' return, do it. Do it. Don't wait. Don't wait to be faithful. Because we don't know when Jesus will return, but we can be faithful right now as we joyfully anticipate and watch for his return. Let's pray that we be faithful and watchful as we wait. Oh Lord, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for those in our lives who are excellent models of how to be faithful servants of your Son. And so we thank you for faithful servants like Brian Cross. When I look at his example, I know that I've got a long way to go. For often I am selfish by nature. I'm often prideful in my opinions of myself. I'm myopic in my expectation of your kingdom, and I too frequently lack the resolve to do the right next thing. And I bet I'm not alone. And so we need to hear these words from Jesus. Are you ready? Are you ready for me to return? Are you doing what I've left you here to do? Are you serving my people? Are you obeying my will? Are you ready? Are you being faithful? As we consider these questions, Lord, we ask that by your Spirit, you would compel us, by the good news of Jesus Christ, that we would resolve to change in our lives, that we would change habits, that we would live for you, that we would live for others before ourselves, that we would change our priorities and live in a way that constantly is ready and faithful in anticipation of the return of our Lord. It's in his name we pray. Amen.